What are the rules, though, if I go beyond just looking and actually start talking to people? Well, if I'm on the internet, one thing you got to, and this comes up a lot with, well, what if I want to reach out to a friend on Facebook? Maybe I'm not finding any posts, but I know one of the friends. Can I go talk to one of the friends about talking to him? This is where the disciplinary rules come in, and we're going to be brief, but they are worth remembering. First off, I cannot ever do anything that amounts to initiating a communication with someone who has a lawyer. Full stop, period. I just cannot do it. And by the way, you'll see later, I also can't encourage someone else to do it. So I cannot initiate or otherwise engage in a conversation with a party that I know is represented without the other lawyer's consent once I know they're involved. So one thing I'm not doing is reaching out to friends on Facebook, messaging the guy, trying to pretend I'm somebody I'm not. I'm not doing any of that. I am looking at things that this person has disclosed on the internet passively. So it's me reviewing documents they left laying around. I'm not asking them for anything. Important thing to note is if you're going up against an organization, so if you're against a company, private actor, government agency, whatever it is, if your opponent is an organization, the idea of who the client is fairly broad. It's everybody with management responsibility that relates to that subject, whatever it is we're fighting about. So any manager that has any kind of authority related to that subject, which is going to be most managers. And then anyone employed by the organization whose act or admission could make the organization liable. So it's the management team, any manager, plus any individual contributor who, if they said or did something, could get that organization in trouble. Those are all the client, those are the people I can't talk to. And this comes up a lot for the plaintiffs in my practice who want to post and solicit feedback from coworkers who may have experienced similar things to their client that they want to sue over. To be careful with that, because if the person that responds is a manager, they're violating the rules of ethics, which really are not rules of ethics. They're more of a penal code, but that's a different topic. So this rule applies. This is from the model rule. This is not the Texas rule. However, it educates the Texas rule. This rule applies even if the represented person initiates communication. So when I'm talking about self-help discovery, one thing I'll be really clear about is I'm not asking the party for anything. And even if they contact me, if I know they have a lawyer, I refuse to deal with them. I will not talk to you. You need to have your lawyer talk to me or write me and say it's okay for me to talk to you. And even then, I'm not going to talk to you. I really just don't deal with them, not the opponents directly, unless they're under oath. Beyond that, I also can never insinuate in a post or anything else that I'm doing that I'm not interested, that I'm not exactly who I say I am. So lawyers can't pretend to be somebody they're not. So what you could not do is go create a fake social media profile to befriend your opponent in the hopes you will find something interesting in their feed. That would violate a series of laws as well as the disciplinary rules, so please don't ever do that. These are a few cases that touch on a law called the Stored Communications Act. Again, I'm going to be brief, but you need to know it exists. This is a federal law that says you cannot review an electronic record in storage without the consent of whoever it was intended for or the owner of the service. What does all this mean? Well, you wouldn't think it applies much, but it actually covers things like Facebook. Facebook, very technically, given the way it's rendered, is a bunch of communications in electronic storage. All Facebook is a user interface that lets you see them. So if I go look at your Facebook page when you didn't authorize me to do it, that can violate the Stored Communications Act. Now, happily or unhappily, most people make their Facebook page highly visible, such that I know what you had for dinner last night, I know where you went to vacation, I know when you were out of your own home and it was unattended and ripe for burglaries, I know all sorts of things as a result of paying any amount of attention to your social media account. If you actually make it private, though, and I try to circumvent that and get into your Facebook account without your consent, I can end up violating federal law. So I have to be careful about how far I go in looking at password-protected or non-public or private Facebook pages. These are three very quick cases. In one instance, a nurse made a post about an 88-year-old sociopath white supremacist that she was upset the paramedics had saved, thought he should have bled out and died. The hospital learned about that when two people that didn't like her very much shared her posts with the hospital. She then sued and said the hospital had violated the Stored Communications Act because it had looked at her Facebook page without her consent. And the court said they didn't need your consent. They just needed the consent of anyone who was authorized to receive the message, which was every one of your friends. Two of those people turned out to not be real friends. They turned out to be social media friends. And they turned your post over and got you fired. You have no claim. Similar, Konop, this is from actually I think it's a MySpace page. Anyway, he said a bunch of terrible things on MySpace and only let certain people see it. Only certain people had access to it. And there were several of those people who did not share it with management, but then there was one who did, who said, hey, here's some login credentials if you want to go look at this guy's page. The problem is they had never used the login, so very technically they weren't users, so very technically they couldn't authorize access. So in that instance, when the company used those credentials to access the page, they violated the law. It's a hyper-technical distinction. Don't worry about it. Just know if you're looking at someone's page and they didn't invite you to do it, you should probably go bone up on the SCA. Like, that's just, I'm not going to try to teach it all here. But the high level is I need authorization of an active user who is letting me see this. If I don't have that, I'm arguably going to run afoul of the SCA. Final one is Petrello. It's a hilarious case. I encourage you to read it in the facts. Waiters come up with a list of test questions, the customers they have had sex with, the customers they do want to have sex with, which drugs they're doing in what parts of the restaurant, a bunch of other stuff, and they put it on a page. Eventually, a manager gets wind of this, has dinner with a hostess, which raises a host of other concerns and questions, but she ends up sharing her Facebook login so they can go see it. They fire the waiters sue under the Stored Communications Act, and amazingly, the court holds that because of the radical disparity between the level of the manager and the hostess, that she did not have effective consent when she handed over her own credentials. It's a very controversial decision because even though she said, here are my credentials, they said, well, there was too much power disparity here for her to effectively consent, and we're going to let the jury decide. And the jury decided she was scared of losing her job. That's coercion. That means her consent wasn't valid. What's the net?